This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Thanks so much for being with us. 3 hours of action-packed sports
action.
Talk coming your way.
Action.
A lot of good stuff. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, man, on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Friday as we are 3 hours from the weekend. And like you said, it's a big weekend. Dogs playing, in my opinion, in your opinion, an elimination game.
Yeah.
You got the Falcons going out to Mile High in a must-win before the bye. Don't want to have a two-game losing streak going into the bye with nasty taste in your mouth, all that other stuff. We talked about the Tyson, and that fight is going on tonight. I keep forgetting it's not tonight. I mean, it's not tomorrow. It's tonight. Your Washington Huskies.
Oh.
Big Ten.
Big
Friday night.
Big matchup against the UCLA Bruins.
Against the Bruins and everything. And, I don't know, first, second, semifinal rounds in Georgia high school football.
I
think that's this weekend.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed weekend. And then also the Hawks. Can't wait to see the court.
Sure.
Can't wait to see the court.
Yeah.
And everything.
And the ability to avenge their two losses to the Wizards already this season.
Exactly.
You know, the Wizards have two wins this year.
Yeah.
And they're both against the Hawks.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Kind of
crazy.
They had a great win the other night against the Celtics. Hopefully they can come back and have a nice win against the Wizards tonight as well.
I'm assuming Lem playing tonight?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, he got to, you know, probably bounce back after what was going on the other night.
Okay, just assume Lem playing tonight. Okay.
With his Achilles. Hopefully he's going to be out there tonight. But yeah, a lot of big football games coming up this weekend. We'll spend plenty of time talking about what it's going to take for the Falcons to beat the Broncos. And like you said, bounce back from what was a frustrating loss last weekend to the Saints, go into the bye week with a better taste in your mouth. 7-4 is just a lot different than 6-5.
Right.
This feels a lot different. And I certainly think that they can do that. And we'll detail that throughout the show. We'll get to our keys to a Falcons victory at 1:20 as well. Roddy Nabalsi going to join us at 11:40 as he always does on Fridays to talk Georgia football. And, you know, maybe he can, I know he's always got the inside scoop on Georgia's health. Maybe he knows something about Tennessee's too, because they still haven't committed to Nico Iamaleava's health. And if that guy, because here's the thing, it's not a pain tolerance thing,
yes,
right? Like he didn't roll his ankle. He's not dealing with an elbow. He's in the concussion protocol.
Correct.
And that's not up to him at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you got to pass all the tests to get back on the field. And I guess he's been a part of practice this week from what you hear. Now, we don't know what that means exactly, because they don't detail practice participation the same way that the NFL does. But he's been out there, but he still hasn't cleared protocol. So that's a big deal to me. Like, you know, as much as he's been good, not great in SEC play, it's a step backwards to have a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to go into Athens and win a game that they, you know, obviously they're not in the desperate situation that Georgia's in with two losses on their record right now. It goes a long way to getting into the college football playoff for them, too.
Yeah, I mean
they go in and win this game. They've beat Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah,
they're in a solid spot.
They're in a great spot with two wins over Georgia and Alabama. But I think Georgia, and, you know, kind of like what Stegen was saying, like 15, he's got to come play. He's got to figure out something, because he's going to play. He's going to start, and you know, and they got to play well around him, and just like you were saying, in Georgia, you know, it's like, what do you? I hate saying what kind of man are you and things like that, but you know, there's been rare times in recent memory that they've had their backs against the wall,
mm-hmm.
and it's against it right
it's
now.
True.
If they want to get have an opportunity of continuously trying to find their way to get to a third championship for Kirby and the dog. So I'm anticipating them coming out with a lot of energy, feeding off the crowd. You know, night game at Nats has been, they ain't been home in over a month. And so you have an opportunity to go there against a rival who's coming in and trying to take something from you and basically take your season away from them. Now, there are still two more games and everything like that. And you know how me, I'm always, you know, it don't matter where they are, I'm always going to support them and everything like that. But they got to get this win.
Of course,
they got to get this win.
And I think all Georgia fans will.
They got to get this win.
It would be a real, it'd be shocking to me to be before the end of the season and have the college football playoffs sort of be out of the question.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's crazy to think what the expectation was for this team coming into the year and the talent that they have. And look, we've seen it. Like, you've seen enough of them play to understand how it got here. They're clearly not as good as people thought that they were going to be, and they're not as good for a variety of reasons.
Right.
Now, they've also been really good at times. They've looked like the best team in the country in flashes at various different times this season. It's going to have to bottle that up and make it last for 60 minutes tomorrow night, because they can.
Yeah.
They've done it. They've,
yes.
they've looked incredible at times this season. There's no like fabricating it tomorrow, you know, like you don't have to trick yourself into believing that your back is against the wall. Like
right.
sometimes maybe you do.
Right.
It's like, oh, nobody believes in us. And, you know, we're going to have to, they picked us to go 7-5 or whatever. No, you got two losses. If you lose, you're out pretty much. Like also the College Football Playoff Committee had you outside the top 12. Like,
yes.
They were in the 12, but they had you outside the bracket. Like, it's real. Like, they really don't believe in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, that's Kirby doesn't have to go in there and sell it.
You see it with your own two eyes.
It's true. Like,
yeah.
They really don't think you're a playoff team right now. Like, and to be fair, Georgia hadn't played like a playoff team over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's interesting for them to be in a point where for so long, for so many games in a row, I mean, it was like 50-something games in a row, you had to invent some sort of, you know, obviously there's big games and stuff, you don't have to talk yourself into it, but like times you had to come up with, oh, nobody's buying us, this is, you know, it's us against the world and all that kind of stuff. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is tomorrow night. Like,
yep.
And you're going to be without your leading rusher as well.
Yeah,
Trevor Etienne's not going to be available.
Yeah, and that just, obviously he's your best runner, so that just kills you because, you know, Nate had a rough day last weekend with putting the ball on the ground
and
everything.
Yeah,
and,
you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't put the ball on the ground. And then, you know, when you put Cash in, it seems like it become a little bit more predictable. And
yeah.
So that's going to be the thing with, you know, Cash is going to have to get some more carries. They're going to probably have to throw the ball, you know, a couple of times in Nate to try to set off some of that, you know, as far as predictability when either back is in the football game. But I think it's going to come down to those five guys at 15. I think that's where this game is going to have to be won. You know, those guys blocking the front and him making throws and obviously them catching the damn ball.
If you can, and I know this is hard. It's hard for me when it comes to Washington. But, like, to set aside the fact that against all else I'm going to go with Georgia and all that.
Right.
I agree with what you just said assessing the matchup. It comes down to the offensive lineman and 15.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it?
Is that like a... like an encouraging bottom line?
I have to be encouraged.
You don't have to.
Yeah, no, I have to.
You can't try to. Like,
yeah.
Beyond that, like, that's a fact, right?
Yes.
It comes down to those five guys
right.
who've been disappointing
yes.
and Carson Beck, who's been maybe the most disappointing player in the country.
Probably.
Like, it comes down to those guys
mm-hmm.
beating this team who's good.
Yes.
Like, is that, like, how does that feel?
How does that feel?
Yeah.
Are you asking me, am I confident that's going to happen?
Yeah,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes, I am.
How come?
Because I think that, you know, more than anything, I think that when you have a coach like Kirby and you have a pedigree of him getting his team ready for more times than not, I will go with the more times than not. And so when I look at going back to last week, I thought Ole Miss had a better plan than Georgia. I thought Ole Miss did everything they needed to do offensively to beat Georgia and negate Georgia's strength, which is their defense. I thought that that Ole Miss did a great job of making Georgia one-dimensional and putting all the pressure on those five guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if Georgia, and I don't think they're going to try, even though they don't have Etienne, I don't look at it as a standpoint that Kirby's going to have to have they're not going to have these guys win the game. I say they need to win it, but they're going to do a lot of things to help these guys win the football.
Yeah, I hope so.
And so that's why I have confidence this weekend. And obviously, I'm always going to side Georgia and ride or die. But if I say it, then I'm going to have to mean it. And I do think, and I do have faith, I'm probably one of the rare people that does. I'm probably one of those people that's not in a wait and see. Oh, we'll wait and see. I think that those five guys and that quarterback will play well tomorrow and they'll win.
Yeah, I don't have a great explanation for it myself, but that's where I lean also. It's, well, I just trust Kirby to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like a good, you know, there's not a lot of substance to that other than he has, you know, but he also hasn't been in situations like this that much recently where, you know, we're talking about a unit that has been overmatched. I think you're probably right about Ole Miss having a better plan. I think Ole Miss had better talent too. I think their defensive front was just more talented than Georgia's offensive line.
Yes.
But and Tennessee has a really good front
and
also.
And that's what we'd say is like, and I saw this question last week and it was like, okay. And Lane Kiffin said as much this week. He was like, well, you know, the championship goes through Georgia. And we had to basically buy a team that can compete because you can't recruit with Georgia. So you got to go out and get better players. And I go back and I look at all the championships and everything as far as when this NIL transfer portal thing came up. And all of those teams, their best players were all homegrown. Their best players weren't transfer portal kids. Mm-hmm. Now, Ole Miss's best players are all transfer portal guys. And so is that going to be the new way? Because you look at all the top teams, you know, Ohio State, they got transfers and everything. You look at Oregon, they got transfer quarterback, obviously Miami, but can you win championships like that?
I think it's going to be a mix. I think it's going to be a combo.
I'm waiting to see it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see somebody's, their best player, not good player, their best player on their team being a transfer guy, that not being home. Because you remember you said this last week, like Kirby's probably going to, he needs to, or think about going into the portal to get one of these high-priced quarterbacks and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Is that a recipe for championship? Because we have not seen that yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, obviously, Michigan wins it last year with a recruit quarterback. Georgia won it the years before that with a – he transferred back in.
Transferred back in.
After he left.
Right.
And that's the biggest outlier. Like, you're just not going to win much with a guy like – that
right.
ever again, probably.
Right. But the thing about it, the team was built perfect for him.
It was perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The team was built perfect for him.
No doubt. Like, if you have, you know, you have all that around him. The weird thing for me about analyzing this game between Tennessee and Georgia is they switched roles over the last couple of years. Like, Tennessee wants to come in here and play this hard-nosed defense and run the football.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to throw it a lot.
Is it a necessity?
It's really weird.
But my thing about the whole Tennessee, because I agree with you right now how they're currently playing, do you think they want to be like that?
I don't know.
I don't think
so. I don't think so.
They wanted that boy.
Yeah, I think they'd like Nico to be throwing it a little bit more and have that be the identity of the offense. But I think it's also credit to them to be like, you know what? He's a little inconsistent.
Damn it.
This running back we got's awesome. Let's hand him the ball a whole bunch of times and win games like that. And they have. Roddy's going to join us in about half an hour. Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the show on a happy hour Friday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
they have a great pass rush, and you always need to be aware that while I'd love to take another hitch, use my eyes to move a defender, try to look for that big play, if the rush is closing in and if it's going to lead to a sack, ball's got to go. Ball's got to get out and get to somebody.
That's something that Kirk Cousins has been really good at this year, because I was kind of looking at some of the numbers as far as obviously the sacks that the Falcons have allowed are down, but the pressures that they've allowed are about the same. It's the same group of offensive linemen. You know, you're getting better quarterback play, smarter quarterback play. Either he's getting the ball out faster when he's under pressure, or if it looks like a sack is going to happen, he's trying to do his best to not take it,
right,
get the ball, whatever. So he's doing a good job of that. That's certainly something that's going to come into play on Sunday, because Denver's going to pressure him.
Yeah,
like they're going to bring it. Like they're second in the league in sacks. That's a big part of what their game is, and credit to them for being so good at it. But if Denver is going to win this game, which obviously we hope that they do not, that's one of the ways out. Like, they're going to make Kirk uncomfortable, get him on the ground, force him to make a mistake or two, and play really smart, efficient offense. But credit to Kirk Cousins and the offense in general, but Kirk Cousins specifically, for being so smart in that way. And I mean, just think of how many times over the last couple of years we're like, well, that didn't have to be a sack.
Right.
Just get rid of the ball.
Right.
Get rid of the ball. Like, obviously, it sucks that the guy missed the block, but you saw him coming. Like, make a play, you know? Don't just get hit in the face for no reason. Kirk's been good at that, so credit to him for that.
Well, I mean, you look at their defense. They got, Benito, 7 sacks. Franklin Myers is at 5. Obviously, Cooper, 6.5. So, I mean, they got guys that can get after the passer in a variety of ways. They're leading tacklers. Two of the three leading tackles is the safety and the nickel corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, when you don't have a high volume of tackles from your linebackers, he's second on the team. That means that, you know, you can have an opportunity to run the football on this football team and maybe get to that second level. But that's what they got to do. They got to be able to do what you're saying and not give up the pressure so Kirk Cousins, like you said, can go down the field. I'm always curious, when you look at the catches that a running back has, how many of them are design catches and how many are rush checkdowns because
right.
there's nobody open
right.
or he's receiving the pressure. And so, I mean, you just don't want him to just sit back there, because Kirk's going to, as a defense, they already know he's going to be right there.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and so this offensive line, they've got to be able to withstand that pressure and everything. And also, you got to be with understand momentum and runs. I mean, they're playing in Denver. They have a great crowd bunk. It's going to be loud.
Yeah.
It's going to be ruckus, all those different things. And so Atlanta's got to be able to manage that. We talked about the altitude yesterday. As long as you're winning and playing well, you don't worry about all that aspect of it. But it starts with the run. But like we were talking about with the Dogs, those 5 guys up there for Atlanta, they got to be able to bring this thing home.
Yeah, no doubt.
They got to block them.
Another similarity to Georgia. Falcons have gotten off to really slow starts this year. They've been a bad first quarter team.
Right.
Obviously, that bit them in the ass against the Saints. They got better as the game went on. They're fourth in the NFL in terms of fourth worst in the NFL in terms of first quarter offense. So they've started really slow.
Did it say how long they had the ball?
Not a lot.
Like, yeah.
6 minutes
yeah.
on average in
okay.
the first quarter.
All right.
So they're the worst. I think the worst, maybe the second worst time of possession team
right.
in the first
okay.
quarter as well. So they
okay.
get out possessed.
Okay.
They don't get anything going. They get off to slow starts. I don't really know why, but that's something they're going to have to try to fix. And that's why, you know, we were talking to Joe about it yesterday. I was reading about it this morning. Jimmy Lake was putting together a compilation of fights, quick knockouts.
Yeah.
They're showing him Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Probably the best reason to be talking about Mike Tyson yeah. this week.
It seems like this real quick, but
get off to a quick start.
It seems to me like the Falcons, whenever they're on defense in the first quarter, that a team runs their first 15 against them,
mm-hmm.
all 15 of
yeah.
them. You know,
they don't do anything to disrupt it.
You know what I mean? And so,
and you know why?
And exactly. But I think that's when you see. And so when you have a team doing that, if a team can get through 7 of the first 15. That means that your defense is just giving up stuff, letting them get comfortable early. And then you're adjusting to what they're doing. Well, all right, let's make adjustments.
Right, and the adjustments have been solid.
Yes.
Obviously, last week they were
But you're going to give it up, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sit in the corner. You're going to let them take those shots at you and everything
yep.
like that. Keep your guard up, but you don't give them the big shot.
Well, it just means that, like, everything they see on tape and everything that they expect is what happens.
Right.
Right? They're like, this is what this defense does. This is what they can't do. We're going to be able to script these plays and get away with them
yep.
in our first 15. And the Falcons don't do anything to knock them off their spot.
Nope.
Because they literally don't knock the quarterback off the spot. Like, they don't get to him.
Great.
So
No, man. I'm like, I mean, they got to get broke. They got to get Bo. They got to get him. He's hard to tackle because, one thing, because he's elusive and everything like that, and he moves and all those things. They got to get him on the ground twice, at least twice. Now, nothing about this team lets me believe that they're going to be able to do that, but they got to get him off the ground. They got to get him on the ground at least twice, Bonk. I mean, damn. I mean, he is still a rookie quarterback.
He is.
He's still a rookie quarterback. And Sean, we said it yesterday, Sean has done a really good job of catering to this young guy, which I didn't think Sean was going to do, but he's a hell of a football coach, and he's done it.
I know. And so, I don't think Bo Nix was going to play like this. Yes. I don't think Sean Payton was going to be able to sort of
I think when it happened, when Bo clapped back at him.
Okay.
Like, I think it was like week three or something like that, and Bo clapped back at
him. Well, it's been really good since then. Like, since week four, Bo Nix has been – like a productive quarterback.
Yeah.
Again, no one's going to mistake him with an elite, like game-changing quarterback. But you got a defense like Denver does, and if you have a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over and plays efficiently, he was the rookie of the week last week in the NFL. Like, hand in the air, he's playing a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to.
I agree with you.
He's solid and does what he does really well. You just assume NFL defenses would be able to make him do stuff he doesn't do really well. But they've been able to do a good job getting the ball out of his hand quickly, using his athleticism a little bit, and he cut down on the turnovers, and things have been really good for him since then. So
you got to pressure him. You got to pressure him. You got to kind of figure out a way to confuse him, because if you are sitting in a basic defense, not saying Atlanta sits in basic defense all the time, but if you're sitting in a too high, it's pretty much, you know where not to go with the football. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to find a way to get this guy confused, because – They're bringing pressure to my defense. They're trying everything to make the quarterback uncomfortable. They're just not getting home. Yep. They're not getting enough one-on-one wins. I think more important than anything is that they don't get enough one-on-one wins on obvious pass downs. You don't get enough one-on-one wins.
Yep.
And that's holding this team back.
And that comes down to the starting point that we've started the conversation with for years now, but have gotten back to many times, is it's a personnel thing. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to have to win a one-on-one matchup as a starter in the league. Mm-hmm. And some guys aren't really good enough to do that consistently.
Correct.
Unfortunately, a lot of them are pass rushers for the Falcons. It sounds like Lorenzo Carter is going to be back.
Right.
Potentially. So that'd be good. Maybe not, though. We'll see. Obviously, that would sort of be probably a Sunday decision. And I'm not saying he's going to change everything, but at least it's another guy. It's another body.
Most important. Yeah. Somebody.
Another NFL-caliber guy. Here's Kirby Smart talking about being honest with Carson Beck.
There's need to hear, and then there's need to reaffirm what's true. You know, what's the actual truth? Because we don't deal in narratives and themes and what people say and social media fodder and what you guys think. We deal in truths. And the truth is what we usually say, tell them. You know, like, that's a good decision. That's a poor decision. That's a good drop. That's a bad drop. That's a good protection of the ball. If you're going to take a sack, that's a poor protection of the ball. We deal in truths, and we don't go much past that.
The truth is, he stinks. He stunk. I mean, but
he
stunk this year.
He has stunk.
You know, now there's been great plays, there's been great throws and everything like that, but he's been the most inconsistent, quote unquote, big game or big time quarterback in college football.
Yeah.
College football.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, the regression that this dude has had. And again,
he leads the country in interceptions.
And I know, and he leads the country in interceptions, and they lead the league in drops.
Yeah. It's a bad combo.
It's a badass combo.
And they have an offensive line that is very inconsistent with blocking.
Yes, that's a
bad. And they don't have much of a run
that
game.
That is a badass combination, man.
Yeah.
When you talk about, being, quote unquote, one of the best programs in the country, to have that kind of deficiency on offense, because a lot of those things and most of those things are self-inflicted. You just got whipped. Mm-hmm. You weren't good enough on that specific play. And you just weren't blocking the guy. And so, I mean, is this the week where you see them put it all together? Hell, I don't know.
Right.
But they need to. Mm-hmm. They can't go out there and play the way they played last week. Now, Tennessee, I don't know what their game plan is going to be. Obviously, I know they're going to try to run the ball with Sampson. I know that's going to be their game plan. I'm talking about the other aspect of it, because I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. It sounds to me, and I think he's going to play, but that's just how I feel. I mean, who knows what tomorrow and how he feels tomorrow leading up to the game. But, no, they got a bad offense. And when you look at Bobo trying to call plays for a bad offense, it looks bad. It does. Oh, we're going to run a screen pass. We used to be really good at that, but we're not good at it. You know why? Because the guys aren't blocking out there.
Yep.
You know, you're just not able to do all the things that you had, and rightfully so. The players aren't as good as they were when you were really good at doing some aspects of this offense. So they're just going to have to go out there and, you know, Bloody Tuesday. Kirby said they had a really good week, great week of practice. Hopefully that translates to the game. Hopefully that translates into Saturday.
Hopefully. Because, I mean, it has to. It has to, or... You know, then three losses, and you know what that means. So it's tough when you start stacking up all that stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, they're not good at this. They're not good at this. They're not good at this. This guy's out. And it's like, damn, all right. But I trust Kirby, though. Like, it's I do. Like,
I'm with you.
I can't.
I'm with you.
Until it's over, I can't help but trust him to figure it out, you know?
I just think
that there's enough talent on the team for them, and they've done it. If they hadn't done it in flashes this year, then I probably wouldn't talk myself into it. But they've done it in flashes against very good football teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to believe that he finds an answer, especially on defense, mm-hmm. that they find a way on defense. Because I think this is going to be, 47.5 over under.
It
feels like an under to me.
Well, I mean,
it feels like a bit of a slog on Saturday night.
It could be. I mean, Georgia, we know this about Georgia. I think the last 3 years, Tennessee's averaged 13 points a game.
Yeah, Georgia has averaged beating Tennessee by like three touchdowns the last 5 years.
Yeah, and so.
But
it's a different type of deal. Yep. But. Hey, I'm not gonna say that it can't happen.
Oh yeah, sure.
Gonna say it can't happen. But they're gonna have to play their best game, their best complete game, and not their best half. And you're right, man. Get out the blocks.
Yeah.
Get out the blocks.
Score a touchdown on the first drive.
You know what I mean? Get out the blocks. Let's go. Let's not sit there and feel your way through a football game.
Get back to that big play to Arian Smith in the first drive.
If you're bull
driving, trust him to catch it.
I have to catch it.
Hey man, look again. Every time we get to something, it's like, well, they can't do that. It's like, well, they have to. They have to
catch the damn ball.
Catch the ball.
They catch the ball, they'll be fine. I think so.
If
you catch the ball, the plays are there, and stay with your damn horses. If a dude makes a damn nice play, don't sub him out.
Yeah, it's okay to throw the ball.
It's okay to throw it to
if
a
you
guy,
need to throw it to Dominic Lovett like seven times.
It's okay.
In a half, that's okay.
It's okay.
If he's beaten his matchup, keep throwing it to him. You know? I know. Spreading the love around.
It's okay.
Let's break from whatever the plan was at the beginning of the year. You have to adapt and break from that a little
Adaptability.
Bit. Probably, I'm good on those little bubble screens.
Because I can't block them.
Yeah. I know you like them. Bobo loves them.
Yeah. Like them.
Always has.
We got to do something. Oh, they're not catching it. Maybe they can catch it when we just throw it like. It's a straight line throw.
They do catch them,
yes,
usually.
Exactly.
They do catch them, and then they get tackled immediately, but at least they catch them. All right, Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us next, UGASports.com. We'll get his perspective on the Georgia-Tennessee game coming up tomorrow night. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ooh, ooh, woo. Oh, man, I thought this was that. I thought this was a different song, Rod. I was like, oh, hell, bro, you got the dump button.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy hour Friday, 11:40 means Roddy Nabalsi joins the show from UGASports.com. Roddy picks his own walk-up song that's related to the football game. It's themed for the football game, the Georgia game coming up the next day. You want to explain this one to the people, Roddy?
Well, you know, it's ASAP Ferg. It's plain Jane, and that's what we're going to see in this offense this week. Very plain ball control, field position, don't do anything stupid. And I like his line in there about, you know, check it with me and do your job. You know, that's do your job. And, of course, the first line, you know, ride with the mob. That Sanford Stadium is going to be sideways come Saturday night at 7 o'clock. They haven't lost a game at night in a long time there. So I expect it'll be a loud crowd. Hopefully kind of get Tennessee off their mark a little bit. They've only played two true road games this year, so maybe get them a little rattled and try to pull your team through it. I don't expect a lot of fireworks. Until that is between the third and fourth quarter, that will be fireworks. So that's a new thing for folks going to the stadium. But I expect it to be a slog. I mean,
me too.
Just do your job, Georgia. You don't need to impress us. You don't need to impress the committee. You just need to win.
Rob, what's the biggest surprise for you about this football team? Obviously, Carson Beck is definitely probably number one on everything else. But going into the season, you know, with the expectations that this team had, and you are where you are, especially last week. Well, let me go back to last week. Have you ever seen Georgia be dominated physically like they were up front?
Well, the last time I saw that happen was at Ole Miss in 2016.
Right.
Yeah. Bookmarks. Yeah. I mean, that's the last time I saw them get there. Even at Auburn in, what was it, 2017, it wasn't, say, a physical butt-whipping like that. That was the last time I seen Georgia get manhandled, and it happened again. I know people want to point to Alabama a few years ago, but that's only because of one or two clips on the offensive line where you got two on ones. That's not the same thing, but they were just beat up on both sides. And if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago what was the biggest surprise, I'd have said the fact that this is the first Georgia team that I can remember under Kirby Smart in a long time that has not gotten better as the years progress.
Right.
He's always saying, hey, each week we're going to get better. And after the – every time that Georgia had a bad half, we kept saying, hey, wait until Georgia puts one half – you know, puts a whole game together and not just one half. This team is going to be unstoppable. And we haven't seen that. Now I'm to the point of wondering, can they put together an entire game? We've been waiting for the other shoe to fall, but it just may not. But now, after this Ole Miss game, you say, what's the biggest surprise? And it has to be the run game. And I understand. You're down a lot of running backs. Trevor Etienne banged up. Cass Jones in a boot. Branson Robinson out. Roderick Robinson out. I get that. But at some point, I expected that offensive line that was returning all but one starter to be able to be strong at the point of attack, to get pushed on the line of scrimmage, move it forward a bit. Right now, I would not put money on Georgia converting third and one with a run game, run up the middle, B gap, C gap, wherever you want to go. And in years past, you could always count, hey, if Georgia can get third and one, they've got a first down. And I just don't trust the run game. A lot of people want to complain about Carson Beck and Mike Bobo, but I'm like, look, if you handcuff a quarterback and an offensive coordinator without a run game, it makes it a heck of a lot easier. And I guess the writing should have been on the wall when he threw for 50 passes, early in the season. We're like, wait a minute, they do not trust the run game. This isn't by choice that Mike Bobo's throwing. It's because he's got no other options.
You said Cash is out too, so Trevor and Cash is out. Did you say Cash is in a boot?
Cash has been wearing a boot.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. You know, he's listed as questionable. Our sources tell us that he has practiced. So I think it is one of those more precautionary things. He was in a boot after the Ole Miss game. He was in a boot Monday, Tuesday. So I think when he's not at practice, they're putting him in a boot. So he could still go. It's just like Anthony Evans. Will Anthony Evans play? He's kind of running, full speed. But we were also told that Trevor Etienne was ready to go last week, and he played a very, very few snaps. Yeah. And now he's listed as out. So right now, I'm not trusting either team's injury reports. you saw Lane Kiffin playing games with it last week. You knew they were confident because he's goofing around on the injury report. So I don't trust his injury reports as far as I can throw them.
Yeah, that's probably the right way to look at it. They're non-committal on Nico Iamaleava. I mean, obviously it makes a big difference. Yeah. How much does that impact your analysis of this football game, whether or not Tennessee's starting quarterback is able to go?
I'm not as scared of their starting quarterback as I am as their starting running back.
Right.
And Georgia has been okay against the run, but they've not been Georgia against the run. They've not been as stout. They missed some of their run fits, some of the gap assignments. I mean, there was a time there, remember, we were talking about the fact that Georgia leads the nation in drop passes, which is mind-boggling for a Georgia football team. But there were back-to-back games where they missed 15 and 16 tackles.
Damn.
And if you miss this guy, you can just forget it. He's going to make you pay. So to this point, I don't think Georgia's had any running back get over 100 yards in a game. This cat's done it, seven out of eight times? So I'm more worried about Georgia's run game and being able to protect your quarterback than I am whether or not Nico's in the game. And that's not taking anything away from Nico. He is an absolute superstar in this league. He's going to be a monster as he gets ages and gets more experience. But I think that what they need to do is just take advantage of the fact that Georgia has missed on some of its run fits and just gash them.
What about, when you talk about this defense, and I wanted to ask you about some of the personnel, because we keep asking, and we said, me and Andy, because I left, and we said, well, we need 11 and 13 to show up. And they showed up and showed the hell out. Was it more or less last week a game plan type thing because the ball was getting out of Ole Miss's quarterback hands so fast that they were as ineffective as they were?
Yeah, I mean, he held on to it, I think, for like 2.1 seconds is one of the fastest releases and the Georgia's faced in years. If you go back and look at the stats, the guy just, Jackson Dart went up to the line and looked to see, you know, what coverage Georgia was showing or what they were going to be in or what he anticipated. And then he just looked for any linebacker that was going to be in coverage, any safety that was going to be in coverage, and any maybe, you know, if those two failed, he'd go to the stars. You notice he didn't throw against Georgia's cornerbacks.
Right.
He's like, I'm not worried about that because Georgia was schemed to stop the perimeter throws.
Yep.
That's what Ole Miss had been killing everybody with. And they said, okay, they're going to come in ready to take away our, you know, Z receiver. Or, you know, we're not going to give them that. We're not even going to go to that guy. We're going to find when you have Chris Cole or Jalen Walker or Malachi Starks or Janelle Aguero in coverage against either a tight end or a running back, you know, or our slot receiver. And it was brilliant. That's mm-hmm. why after the game, Kirby says, hey, we got out-coached. We got out-played because they weren't throwing against them. So that was – Jalen Walker can't do anything of that. Mykel Williams played the whole game, but I actually had to go back and look because I never heard his name called. He had one tackle. And, you know, they run it occasionally, but most of the time they were just picking on Georgia's mismatches in coverage, and that's how they were able to gash him.
Yeah, it was a really good game plan by mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin, no doubt. Roddy Nabalsi joins us. UGASports.com, getting ready for Georgia and Tennessee tomorrow night. And we kind of did this in the first segment, and you've kind of been doing some of it as well. Like, there's plenty of issues, no doubt. Like, and it's easy to list the issues. But when you look at this matchup tomorrow, like, where are the advantages? I know Georgia has some, but as you see it, what are some of the advantages that Georgia has?
It's going to sound weak, but it's really the home field advantage. Georgia hasn't been home in forever. And I asked Kirby about his offensive line. You know, what's wrong, basically? And he said, we've been playing stout defenses. Well, you got another stout defense coming in. This is one of the best teams in the nation, you know, on defense. But they're not that great on offense. They are a little bit one-dimensional with the run game. Getting Mykel Williams back healthy, getting Smile Mundon back, there's an advantage there. So I like that advantage, but I also like the fact that they're playing at home. All these road games against tough defenses, it's demoralizing. It just kind of – you feel like you've been on the pain train for years, and now all of a sudden you're back home, you're going to be like, okay, you know, that crowd is going to get these guys juiced up. And you've seen when they make a big play on defense how it kind of it facilitates another big play on defense. So I like Georgia's defense against the team that is not – doesn't have a running quarterback threat, which is good, and doesn't have the dangers with the passing game that we've seen in the past. So I like that. Again, of course, got like Georgia's special teams, their lights out. And I know people aren't going to want to hear it, but you got Carson Beck. I mean, he's had some interceptions, but he's still a heck of a quarterback. Kirby Smart made the point that, he got us in trouble, you know, against Florida, but he also got us out of trouble against Florida. Maybe getting Carson Beck at home, maybe getting him surrounded by some that environment, you know, because he's a much better quarterback at home than he is on the road. There's no question in my mind. So I think that will help a lot. So, again, ride with the mobs.
Back to the original point. Roddy, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate
always.
You, Rod.
Thanks, guys.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com, joins us every Friday at 11:40 to get ready for the upcoming Georgia game. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's a short list when you start talking about the clear advantage, right?
Right.
It's tough when – I should have even said I thought about saying to ask the question. Take away the home field advantage in the coach, mm-hmm. right? Just mm-hmm. talk about the football teams.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Getting some of the guys back on defense is good.
If you tell me, like, just – like you said, take away the home field and take away Kirby and take away – but it's hard to say.
I know you can't do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah. But no. I mean, it's hard to say take away how they played lately. Just take them right. Team for team, man for man. Mm-hmm. I think George is better.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think too.
I think George is better.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah, I think George is better.
Then you do have the home field, and he is right. Tennessee hadn't really played many. They're 1-1 in legit road games. They lost to Arkansas on the road.
I can remember. I was like, they lost to Arkansas.
And they were in a pretty tight one with Oklahoma on the road, too.
Oh, yeah. So, I forgot about that. Yeah, Oklahoma lost their quarterback and everything, right?
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the unraveling for Oklahoma in that game with some injuries, and they ended up losing, and it's kind of gotten ugly since then. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too. I do, you know, I know I've said this 100 times this year, but like, at some point, if God, it almost feels dumb to say because what? If Carson Beck just plays the way that he can play,
yes,
we've seen him do it,
yes,
and there's been flashes of it,
yes.
If he just plays like that, Georgia's offense is pretty good,
yes.
Like
even with the drops,
even with the issues,
yeah,
even with the issues, like. But again, like,
yeah.
You know,
because he's good enough to overcome it,
and he has,
and he has,
and he has. Just don't throw three interceptions first, you know.
Help.
It would be great. Last week he didn't do that, but yeah. I mean, look, there wasn't,
help.
There wasn't much you were going to do against that Ole Miss front. Like, they were just blowing that offensive line up. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Kick off the noon hour. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll preview the Week 11 slate. We'll look back at the Thursday night game from last night as well. Take the points, man. Take the points. Nobody wants to take the points. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.